Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a pseudo-game show podcast hosted by me, Nate Rigolia. Each week, I subject my guests to a list of 12 topics, and I find out whether they have a vague idea about them or if they just want to pass, which is what happens most of the time. Although not recently, actually. Isn't that right? In the last 2 weeks, people really have not passed that much. I might have to revise the intro. So this is a comedy podcast, so people are going to say things that you may not agree with, but those things are jokes and not worth stalking or being violent to them in any way.
Way to freak out our guests right at the top.
I'm gonna start it off with the terrifying caveat. With me, as always, is usual guest Shannon Page. Shannon, welcome.
Pass.
Great. Okay. How are you? You gonna pass on that one,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, pass. Pass.
Great, okay, and also John Paris is back. John, we're no longer sans Jean, as we were last week. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good.
How are you doing this week, Nate?
I'm good. I just flew in from New York, and boy, are my arms tired.
My arms are tired, too.
It was great. this week, we are graced with the presence of two doctors as our guests. So, first, we have Dr. Melody Stevens. She is the proprietor of Urban Legend, which is a local all-service massage, acupuncture, counseling kind of outfit.
You're doing well.
It's amazing. Yeah. Welcome, Melody. Correct me. Help me out.
We do everything integrative. So acupuncture, chiropractic, massage, psychotherapy, nutritional wellness, etc. It's a good place. It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had a lot of fun at your grand opening a month ago.
Almost too much.
Yeah? Oh, I had just the right amount of fun.
Oh, that's lucky you.
But I didn't stay as long as you did.
That's true.
You had to stay longer
as the proprietor of said establishment.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, welcome.
Thanks
for being on the show. I know you are very excited to do this, as is evidenced by the excited expression on your face.
So excited.
Oh, yeah. We're ready. We're ready to go. And beside her is another doctor, Dr. Billy Ferguson. Welcome. And you sent me a bio, so I'm going to read this. The Reverend Dr. Billy Ferguson, William Ferguson, call him Billy. Sorry, I'm going to stumble through this. He's a witch doctor, ninja, wizard, and he likes music and diminutive food items. Explain the diminutive food items passion.
I mean, really, the smaller the better. Tapas, single olives. You know, these are the best foods.
Cocktail weenies?
Excellent.
Where do you stand on those?
As I've gotten older, I've moved away from the cocktail weenies. They creep me out a little bit more than they used to.
Well, it's mostly preserved anus, so yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Which I'm not opposed to on a fundamental level.
Oh, no! Everybody's anus should be preserved. I think the bleaching process that people in certain industries do is part of that.
Yeah. And I am the janitor at Dr. Stevens's establishment.
Well, that's great. And I love your Cthulhu shirt.
Oh, thanks.
Listeners at home, Dr. Reverend William Ferguson is wearing a dope Cthulhu shirt. Hopefully the Elder Gods will not be summoned tonight. However, we're going to be talking about some monsters, among other things, on our topic list. So, shall we play rock, paper, scissors to find out who goes first?
Sure.
All right. Okay, so we're going to go 1, 2, 3, shoot. Everybody get ready? 1, 2, 3, shoot. Oh, all right. We got the circle, so we got to go again. 1, 2, 3, shoot. All right. This is not going well. One more time. 1, 2, 3, shoot.
Circle.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm just going to pick arbitrarily.
Nate, I thought it always works.
You know what? Everything that always works doesn't work once in a while. And it's normal. It's normal for every guy, so don't worry about it. Melody, I'm going to let you go first. Dr. Melody.
Thank you.
So, doctor, would you like... You need to pick a topic. Number 1 through 12, please.
9.
Number 9.
Number 9.
Number 9.
Number 9. Number 9.
Well, you've landed on original sketch. So, we're going to start the game by doing a little improv exercise that we do. In this exercise, I'm a dragon... And I'm on your roof. And you're trying to convince me to come down off your roof.
Question.
Yes.
What is your policy on swearing?
Do it as much as you'd like.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I would prefer more swearing than less.
I would assume if a dragon were on my roof, there'd be quite a bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, unless you've got like a dragon-proof roof, I guess, right. Or I don't know. I mean,
you don't believe in swearing.
Don't believe in it.
Or there would be less swearing if you don't.
He's
believe
just so. I mean, like we've already gone like 10 minutes into it, and he's not sworn once. So I'm just seeing. Just
are
seeing
you counting? It. You counting my fucks and shits?
There we go. There's two.
I mean, I can hit all the big ones if we want, need to yet. I mean, you gotta
it doesn't
deal
have to
them
be
out.
Colloquialism. You just.
Oh. Yeah,
I'm just noticing is all. So I didn't know if this was an all, you know, family friendly.
No, no, I can only assume that it is because I am tired from the trip that I just came back from that I'm not swearing.
No, he's like,
normally,
fucking welcome to a fucking big idea.
Yeah. Ever get your cocks out?
Okay.
So.
Carry on.
Everybody's going to get a chance to do this. So Milady, you're going to start, and then we're going to rotate around.
Okay.
So your job is just to try to convince me, the dragon, to get off your roof. Rrr, I'm a dragon. Woo. Flame breath.
That's it?
Yeah,
just
I'm a dragon.
Like, go? Is this modern, like, is this current 2019 and a dragon
lands
whatever. On my roof?
Yeah,
this isn't like,
no, you're very...
Oh, this is a world where there are dragons and dragons talk. Also.
No, this is Doctor's Choice. I mean,
clearly
certainly.
There's a
like,
dragon.
So,
the
dialogue would probably start something like this.
That was good.
And then, like, as I was running away,
uh-huh.
That's
okay.
Probably what it would be like.
That's fair.
I think that's an honest depiction.
You know?
Well done. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if there'd be much back and forth.
No, I mean probably not. I guess it depends on the dragon. It could be a cute little dragon. I don't know. So, Dr. Reverend, it's your turn. How are you going to convince this dragon to get off your roof?
You know, a second ago I had bold ideas about what I would say, and after. After this last bit of input, I'm sort of in the same boat. I feel like the mob mentality is transferred my way, and if she ran, I'd probably run too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, I'd probably look at her and be like, what do you want to do about this thing?
What if you were to take the lead?
I'd probably sneak up there, maybe like tug on his butt hairs, just see if I could get him to jump into
sure,
the air,
sure, yeah.
Take flight, and then just get out of here.
Dragons are known for not liking their butt hairs touched.
Yeah, it just
sorry,
occurred to
I
me that
a spit take on the radio.
they are most likely reptiles and probably don't have butt hair.
We know, but dinosaurs now they found that dinosaur tail in amber, covered in hairs,
feathers. Okay,
yeah.
So I'm gonna tug on his
butt
feathers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Little anus feathers.
Great. I think that works.
No dialogue whatsoever. Just a little yoink yoink.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. You're not trying to reason with this beast. You're just like, you know what?
Hell no.
Discomfort will make you reconsider your positioning. Great. Shannon.
I'm going to go back into my house and get my gold.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to bring it out and put it on my neighbor's lawn. I'm going to say, Dragon, if you get off my roof and go to the other roof, you can have all that gold.
Fantastic. That's a very Lord of the Ringsy Smog-esque sort of reply. I like it. John?
Are we talking about a three-toed dragon or a four-toed dragon?
Hey, John's choice there. You pick the toes.
I would probably like encourage the dragon to come down and maybe take like a nice cool dip in the pool.
All right. Like, well, yeah, you got hot breath.
You know, introduce the dragon to my tiger Penelope.
Okay.
And see if they, like, got on with each other. Like, do it that way.
I think that's great. Good job, everybody. All right. Milady, I'm going to give you 2 points for screaming. I'm going to give Billy 2 points as well. And I'm going to give... Yeah, hell, I'm going to give everybody 2 points. I'm feeling very generous right now.
Yeah, 2 points all around. 2 points.
You know, in fairness, I was expecting this to come up a little later in the game when we had some rhythm going, so we hit it hard right away. But, so now, Dr. Reverend, you get to pick 1 through 11.
I choose number 4.
Number 4. Well, do you have a vague idea about lycanthropy?
Oh, do I ever.
All right. Shannon Page, lycanthropy.
Yeah, I can maybe add something. That was a lot of confidence there, though.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, it's, I don't know. How close are we Never mind. I'll give too much away. John,
can you
like
spell it for me, Alec?
Yes, LYCANTHROPY.
No, I got no idea.
No? All right. And Dr. Malati, lycanthropy. Do you have a vague idea?
I've been to Paris, London. I'm watching The Order right now.
All right. Great. You will have something to add. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, Dr. Reverend, start us off on lycanthropy. Tell us what you know.
Well, I was bitten by a leprechaun in Ireland one time, and the next rainbow, I turned into a were-leprechaun. So
okay.
I have some personal experience with this.
Great.
As far as I know, that's an unusual case. Usually we're talking about, you know, werewolves, were-rats, occasionally were-ravens. In Japan, they have kitsune, which is a were-fox.
Yes. Very good.
You know, magical creatures. In France, there is a tradition described as the loup-garou, which I think they put on a wolf pelt, and this doesn't require being bitten, and then you turn into the wolf by wearing its skin, and you run around and fuck shit up. I don't know. I guess it's like a nice release from like your work day.
I figured that's what like going to say Market Street for the bars on the weekends is like for a lot of young frat boys.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Great job. Shannon, lycanthropy? Anything to add?
That was so well informed. Full moon.
Yeah.
That's usually when it happens. Oz on Buffy the Vampire Slayer was a werewolf.
Very good.
Maybe my favorite one. So I just had to throw him out there. And
he's a good guy.
I want to hear about The Order, because I've been meaning to watch it.
If you like True Blood, it's awesome.
What if you like True Blood for like two seasons and then you're like, bleh?
You'd probably like the first few episodes.
All right.
John, you passed. Malati, talk about lycanthropy for a minute.
Well, you know, it's spelled W-E-R-E, but it's pronounced wear and not were, because... Mm-hmm. You wear the skin of the thing that you are embodying. And the process of changing, super painful. Teeth gnashing through, getting bigger. It's not like this magical, you know, full of sparkles, cloud dust thing that happens and poof, you look different. It's like actually a transmutation. Like nails get bigger and split skin. Mm-hmm, bones crack through and, you know, cells multiply in this horribly tumultuous fashion. And I think more than anything, it's just really, really uncomfortable, which is why most movies and television shows portray it as this horrific process.
And you mentioned London and Paris, which both have very good depictions, as does, I think, the original Howling.
Yes.
Yeah, lots of just elongating faces.
And the snapping of, like, the bones getting bigger. Oof.
Yeah.
Every time I turn into that were-leprechaun, it's just excruciating.
You get smaller.
It's a lot of shrinking, though, so it's more compression
every
rather.
Plus that little tiny green suit grows out of your flesh, which I can't imagine.
Yeah, that shit's fucked up. Yeah. It's like, it looks like hair at first, and then it's like, ah, it's costume!
It's a buckle! Ah, so many buckles!
Why there have to be so many buckles?
Did you have anything else to add, Malati?
No, I just, I really appreciate the fight between them and the vampires.
Yeah.
It's been going on for centuries.
Hey, I mean, that's, Kate Beckinsale was making out with, what's-his-face at the hockey game to prevent vampires. Or wait, werewolves.
Who's she making out with?
Pete Davidson.
Mm.
Yeah.
Was he the werewolf guy thing in the movies?
No.
Oh.
He's on SNL.
No.
It's my easiest access to Kate Beckinsale knowledge that's immediate. So that's what I went back to. But she's in the, Underworld?
Underworld.
Yeah. And she's a vampire that hunts werewolves?
Correct. But
okay.
She falls in love with
a... spoilers?
Oh,
spoilers?
Sorry.
It's okay. Those movies came out like 15 years ago. I think we're all right.
Spoilers for when Pete Davidson was born.
Yeah.
Ooh. No, that's too much. Anyway, great job. I'm going to give Dr. Reverend, I'm going to give you 2 points. I'm going to give Shannon a point. John, no points. Malati, 2 points. And Shannon, you get to pick the next one.
Oh, I'll go with number one.
Number one. All right. Do you have a vague idea about Way of the Dragon, the film?
Vague.
Okay. John, Way of the Dragon?
I think I've got a vague idea.
All right. Malati.
Vague.
Great. Dr. Reverend William.
Vague. Is this the blaxploitation one, or is this the? I don't get to ask.
It's not a blaxploitation film.
Okay, then yes.
Okay, starts off, Shannon.
It's a film.
Well done. Yep.
I think I in my head got it confused with Enter the Dragon, so I was thinking it was a kung fu movie, but it's not. Is it? I'm gonna just leave it.
You're gonna leave it with film that may or may not be. All right. Great. Okay, John, what do you got?
Isn't that a Bruce Lee movie?
It is.
Yeah.
Correct.
It shows like different styles of martial arts or something.
I mean, there are different styles depicted in the film. Yeah.
Maybe I didn't get it confused with Enter the Dragon. Or maybe I did. Enter the Dragon. Oh, I'm gonna stop now. Sorry.
Anything else, John? Okay. Dr. Malati.
He practices a form of kung fu, which is a Chinese martial art, and I'm blanking the name of it. It's his own style though, that he created.
I know it. We'll see. Do you know it?
I have an idea.
He might know. All right.
Okay, I'll leave it for him then. What else do I know about that film? It was filmed not very long before he died. I can't remember exactly. Maybe just 2 years, a couple of years before he died. And wasn't it a sequel to Enter the Dragon?
Yes.
Okay.
Ah.
That's all I know.
I feel better now. I feel way better now.
Okay, Way of the Dragon, Bruce Lee. He mostly did Wing Chun until he developed his own Jeet Kune Do style.
Jeet Kune Do, correct.
I want to say this is the movie where he fights Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I don't know if that's right.
It is not. Although he does fight another prominent person in this film. And kills him.
Well, I guess you'll have to tell us who that is, because I don't know. I only have a vague idea about this.
Oh, yeah, no. Everybody did great. This is a 1972 Bruce Lee action comedy martial arts film, technically. He defeats Chuck Norris inside the Colosseum in Rome. Chuck Norris plays Colt, which, I mean, that's pretty on the nose, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I will call him Walker, Texas Ranger's gun. So there you go. Great job, everybody. I'm giving Shannon half a point. I'm giving John a point. I'm giving Melody a point. And I'm going to give Billy a point. And John, you get to pick the next one. 1 through 9.
I'll take number 9.
Number 9. All right. John, do you have a vague idea about Anton LaVey?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Melody's in.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Okay. Melody, start us off. Anton LaVey.
He is the author of the Satanic Bible, and he was the... He's going to know this one better than me. Church of Satanism or the Satanic Church.
Nice. Stick with you. Good.
Okay. Church of Satanism. he founded Satanism, and he, in the book, The Satanic Bible, he talks about a lot of different ways to be a more earthbound human, such as wearing your period blood in a locket that you keep on a necklace, and also, you know, not worrying about the fact that men can see your thong sticking up above your pants, because these are all lustful ways to make men
Did he invent the whale tail?
He might have been a huge proponent of the whale tail. Yeah, did you know that the whale tail was satanic? That's something you now have a vague idea about. Anyway.
Mothers, lock up your daughters.
There's a lot of crazy stuff in that book. I did read it when I was like 14 or something, which is why I'm having a hard time remembering a lot of details. But those two stuck out because I was like, that seems weird. He was just kind of a all-around douchebag who shaved his head a lot and had property in Colorado, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Near here?
No, near...
Was it this building?
Near Netherlands.
You're in his basement right now. Great job.
Thanks.
Billy, what can you add?
Yeah, founder of the Church of Satan, author of the Satanic Bible, kind of a chode.
kind of a chode.
You'll see a lot of pictures of him online in his devil suit, which looks dangerously like children's pajamas. But like with his goatee and all that, he's still just really going for it in those photos.
Oh yeah, here's a publicity photo. I'll just show that around real quick. That's who we're talking about right now.
Yeah, but it's even better when he's got like the full like suit on, and it's got like a little hood with like little horns and shit, and it's just
I know what you're talking about. His signature indicates his own specific. Level of satanic narcissism that he's got.
A little pointy tail on the end of the signature there.
It's pretty campy.
Yeah. It's really campy, especially by today's standards, where it's like, it's no longer like, ah, the devil. It's more like, you look like you belong in a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Yeah.
Where Yosemite Sam gets like smacked through the ground and now he's in hell and he's like, it's mighty powerful hot down here. Is this Dallas? Anyway.
I remember those cartoons.
Yeah, that was a good one. Their tenets were basically like, don't do harm to others, but don't take no shit, which, mm-hmm. you know, is not really a bad idea.
Yeah, the appeal is fairly clear when you look into what the LaVey version of the Church of Satan is.
The aesthetic has aged poorly.
Especially for dudes in the 60s who probably were like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Just carte blanche to just like... fuck and drink and smoke and do whatever.
Right.
Like, the rules here are experience life.
Currently, we have the more prominent, probably, than the LaVey's church is the Satanic Temple, which is an atheist group that uses the satanic imagery simply to challenge church and state issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're the ones with the big Baphomet statue that they threaten to put on, like, federal grounds where there are Ten Commandments statues. And they're like, well, if the Ten Commandments can be here, then we get to put ours here, too, because that's how it works under the law. And then all the courts go, ah! So we either take down the Ten Commandments or we allow both. And so far, the Satanic Temple only has one statue because they never have to put it up anywhere. They just threaten people with it.
Yeah. Although there is a replica in... The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Oh yeah, they got
well,
Netflix sued.
And there's also not yeah.
And there was a
lawsuit about that because they were like, "That's you just literally ripped off our statue, like with
which
the little
was
girl, the little boy, and the
hands,
everything
same.
About it."
Because yes, because copywriting a deity sounds like the sort of thing a deity lets you do too.
Yeah.
Like no, we own this guy.
But copywriting a piece of artwork.
Mm-hmm. And it is straight up the exact same statue, but
yeah.
Shannon,
that's all I know.
Yeah, I mean, the land
is
has been.
Let me ask though: is he still alive? I feel like his name has come up a lot lately during the Sabrina stuff and during the latest American Horror Story, which featured the.
I don't know for sure.
I don't recall.
He
anything
passed
pretty sure
in 1997.
Okay.
Yeah. At age 67, in San Francisco, the most satanic place on earth.
I think there was a representation of him on the latest American Horror Story. It's about the apocalypse.
The cult
and
one?
The cult. No, the apocalypse.
Oh, okay.
And one of the characters is supposed to be the second coming of the devil.
Yeah, okay.
The devil equivalent of Jesus.
Antichrist?
Thank you.
And, is he played by Samuel L. Jackson?
No.
No? That's weird.
But he does sign Bibles in the show.
He signs Bibles?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Topical! That was great, everybody. Yeah, he's kind of just a creepy, weirdo loner guy that figured out a way to market basically a hedonistic version of religion. Mm-hmm. He's noted to have been kind of a powerful showman. So that's part of the thing, right? Which I think is our historical through line with most stuff, is if somebody is charismatic enough, they can convince a lot of people to do really stupid shit for a long period of time. Now, not to say that, you know, living hedonistically is stupid shit. I think that's actually probably better for most people. I think we're all a little too buttoned down all the time, and that creates its own mess of psychological outlet problems and things, you know? But great.
Inclined to agree.
So let's see. John, you're getting 0 points, but I... You know, I love you.
I don't know that one.
I know. Milani, you're getting a point. Billy, you're getting a point. Shannon, you're getting half a point. And Melody, it's your turn to pick again. 1 through 8.
8.
Number 8. Okay, it's the bonus question. So for the bonus question, can you name 2 saints?
St. Patrick.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, of course I should know that. So many answers. Yes, just a second. St. Michael.
Great. All right. Billy, two saints. Can you name 2 saints that aren't those two?
St. John and St. Swithin's.
All right. Great. Shannon.
St. Genevieve. That's in a song. I don't know if it's really one or not.
I'm taking it. I'm taking really anything that has saint associated with it.
St. Augustine.
Great. John.
St. Spiridon and St. How about the New Orleans Saints?
Perfect. Well done. Well done.
Right here, buddy.
I'm surprised no one said St. Valentine. That's an easy one. And I always like St. Ignatius.
That's a
good
one.
Like Ignatius is a name that we need to bring back.
Yeah.
Why didn't you name your puppy Ignatius?
We'll have another puppy.
Okay.
Name that one Ignatius. Rocket was a name that was chosen 4 years. Okay. I saw Cowboy Bebop. I didn't want to name the dog Ein when I got him. I picked the name Rocket. And then 14 years passed, right, and I finally had the means and the space, and now a dog.
Excellent.
Yeah. Great job. Everybody's getting a point. And, Billy, you get to pick 1 through 7.
7.
Number 7. All right, well, do you have a vague idea about Trogdor the Burninator?
No.
This is going to allow more blank stares than I was expecting.
I got this one.
Shannon, you know? Okay, great. John, Trogdor the Burninator.
It's kind of ringing a bell, but I don't think I can remember.
Okay.
That's kind of where I was at.
Dr. Malati? Yeah? Fuck yes. Okay, great. Shannon, start us off on Trogdor the Burninator.
Trogdor the Burninator was a game on... Oh! Strong Bad email. And
it was a Strong Bad thing. No?
What, I can't remember the name of the site, though, but Strong Bad was one of the characters on the site.
Melania has a very serious face on.
She's
going to talk about consummate Vs. It's going to be great.
It was amazing. It was a dragon made out of a bicep. And
that's true.
And
yeah,
he burned down your village, and you were a peasant, and you had to go fight him. And it was in the style of old school Apple IIe type games, where you had to
like
go left,
Commodore.
Commodore games, like look lake, and
oh, when you had to type out that,
and you could only have like 2 words at a time.
Jeez,
but it was visual; it wasn't just text based. The Trogdor is visual, but yeah, so you basically go through and try and find the dragon that looks like a bicep.
Great. Good job. All right, Melody, what do you got?
Graduated from game to show that was freaking hilarious. Oh my God. So yeah, Strong Bad and Trogdor graduated to a tattoo that people actually got. And it was just this insane level of, like, nerd commitment, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And people actually got, like, you could probably pull it up right now, pictures of Trogdor on biceps. Like, terrible. Like his
bicep on a bicep.
The animation was horrific, and they did it true to form, and it was lovely. Like, it made my heart sink. But he talked very moronic, like, Trogdor, the Burninator. There it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's basically an S.
Yeah.
Because that's what dragons look like, apparently.
Oh, he's not a bicep. He has biceps.
He has
okay,
a bicep.
I was remembering it wrong.
Yeah. No, it's...
But...
Trogdor be flexing.
What else? I mean, he was a very famous character on that show, and I'm losing the name. I want to say... Someone that goes fast. Why am I?
Speedy Gonzalez.
No. Yeah, that's it. It's the Speedy Gonzalez.
No, I'm with you. I'm with there. I can picture him.
I know. I can see him. He's skinny and
there's...
But Strong Bad was like a huge character on that show, and I'm
part of the ensemble.
Yeah.
Yep.
Crap. And there was like Coach.
Homestar Runner.
Homestar Runner!
Yes! Right. Well done. I'm glad you got there. Yeah, Homestar Runner, the classic web flash animated series
yes,
from out of Canada.
Teen Girl Squad.
Teen Girl Squad. Trogdor was an invention of Strong Bad. Came out of a Strong Bad email
segment.
Strong Bad
emails!
Which was a segment that was him just checking his email and answering Strong people. Bad. And yeah, somebody asked him how to draw a dragon. He said, oh, you start, you make an S. You make another S. And then we're going to put a big arm on there because he's a badass. And then consummate Vs for teeth and for spikes. And then they made a game. And there was a song, Trogdor! Burninating the village. Something like that. It was great. Wonderful stuff. Great job. Shannon, you're getting a point. Melania, you're getting a point. Billy, you get to pick the next one. 1 through 6. Wait, did you just pick?
No.
Okay, good. Picked. No. Yeah, 1 through 6.
8.
No, you just picked.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Did I?
Yep.
Oh.
Okay, Shannon, you picked 1 through 6. That was good.
I'll do 2.
Number 2. All right. Do you have a vague idea about holy rollers?
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay. John Holy Rollers.
I thought I do, but now I don't think I do.
Just say yes.
I'll try it.
Okay. Melody, Holy Rollers.
No, but I'm going to say yes so I can try and fail if I need to.
That's the way we play the game. Billy, Holy Rollers.
Distinct idea.
Distinct. Ooh. Oh. All right. Shannon, start us off.
Okay, I feel in the back of my brain somewhere.
She's channeling it.
It's coming.
Bring it down.
Apropos.
I think it's when there's like traveling preachers that go from town to town and set up like revivalist like tents and stuff like that. But also. He's making a face. So.
I mean, that's not quite it, face.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah.
No, I feel it's, I know it's a phrase that I heard my grandmother say, like he's not a holy roller, or don't be a holy roller, but I can't remember exactly what she was referring to. But yeah, I'm gonna stick with the traveling preachers.
Okay. Well, I mean, a religious designation or phrase is correct, so you're gonna get something there. John, holy rollers.
Have to do with, like, preachers that, you know, make a lot of money. So then they're, like, rolling around in Cadillacs.
It doesn't. But that's a good guess. Yeah, I mean, and probably some people did make a lot of money and roll around in Cadillacs. So I can't deny you completely. Melody.
I've heard the phrase. Mm-hmm. I knew it had to do with something in terms of religion, but I don't actually know what rollers has to do with, which is why I'm going to guess it has to do with games, gaming, maybe, like, some sort of casino game. I don't know, but that's what I'm going to guess, because it's just a guess.
That's not correct all either. Right. Billy, do you got the money here?
I got your money, you got the right money here.
All right.
The Holy Rollers are the Christian revivalists, usually, that show up to these tent shows that these traveling preachers put on.
Pentecostals.
Like what you're talking about. Yeah, Pentecostals. And these are the folks that you see on YouTube who, you know, may have something that they want addressed, and they go up to the preacher who's, you know, channeling the Lord. A lot of times you see a hand on the forehead, and then you see these people fall down and roll around on the ground, and that's where you get the holy rollers
so
from.
Lame.
It's so literal.
Stupid.
I was like, that's brilliant what you said about, oh, they're rolling around in nice cars.
That,
I was like,
well, that was really good.
That's fucking good, man. But no, it's real simple. Yeah. It's just them falling down, rolling around on the floor.
It's literally dancing, shaking, or other boisterous movements by church attendees who perceive themselves to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit.
Otherwise known as improv.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking in tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. There's a Charles Mingus song that's about it. There's also Ned Flanders' bowling team on The Simpsons. It's called the Holy Rollers.
That's right.
Somebody should have said that.
Oh, that would that have been an acceptable answer?
Oh yeah,
well, it is.
Yeah, it's part of the truth. Great job. I'm gonna give. Let's see.
I grew up in the South, so I'm privy to this kind of thing.
You're just. It's part of your upbringing. It's part of your world.
Mm-hmm. It's a scary part of my world.
Yeah, but it's like the the inverse Little Mermaid situation. All right, so I'm going to give John, Shannon, and Melody, half a point each. Billy, you're getting 2 points.
Bam!
John, you get to pick the next topic, 1 through 5.
I'll take the last one.
The last one. That's number 5. All right. Well, John, you have a vague idea about Angel, a.k.a. Angelus, a.k.a. Liam, for Buffy.
Why couldn't I be first on this one?
I don't.
John doesn't. Melody.
I have a vague idea.
Okay. Billy?
Yeah.
Great. Shannon definitely knows.
Yeah, I'm not.
All right. Start us out. Start us out, Melody.
I just know that he's a vampire that first appeared on the Buffy show and then was a love interest of his on that show. And because he was so popular, he got his own spinoff show called Angel.
Great. Well done. Billy?
Melody crushed that pretty well. The only thing that I can really add to that is that he was very handsome. And I heard from a couple of friends that his show was kind of better than Buffy. I mean, that's obviously subjective. But I know that also at some point, Buffy snuck up on him while he didn't know she was watching, and he was doing Tai Chi. So he knows Tai Chi.
That is true.
That happened quite a bit.
She watched him do Tai Chi in private.
A lot of shirtless Tai Chi.
Yeah. Season 3 is pretty much all shirtless Tai Chi. Well done. Shannon, bring us home.
Liam was an Irishman in the 1800s.
She watched the show.
Was turned into a vampire by Darla.
Darla played by Julie Benz, who is married to the Crypt Keeper.
The Crypt Keeper
once. They're no longer together.
No longer.
But, yeah.
He ate a gypsy's daughter, so they cursed him with a soul. And then he became tortured. And then he helped Buffy. And then, when he's bad vampire, he's Angelus. And when he got his soul, he just became Angel. And then he and Buffy broke up on prom night. It was very sad, and he went to L.A. to start his own detective agency.
Yep, that's true. Well done. Yeah, he later went on to investigate crimes with Emily Deschanel.
Yes.
On a program called Bones.
That's right.
So, great job. Yeah, that's really all of it. David Boreanaz. Nobody said David Boreanaz's name.
It's not, nobody cares that that's his name.
Well,
he's Angel.
But he needs to hear it, you know? He's given us so much.
I don't even know his name.
Melody and Billy, 1 point each. Shannon, 2 points. And, Shannon, it's your turn? Wait, where are we at?
I think it's...
It's Melody.
Melody?
I just chose.
Okay, Melody, it's your turn. 1, 2, 3, or 4?
3.
Number 3. All right. Do you have a vague idea about hypertrichosis or hypertrichosis? I don't know if the pronunciation is correct.
Fuck. That's not a trigger word for me. Hold on. Just let me...
Spelling?
As long as it's not a safe word.
Yeah.
Hyper, H-Y-P-E-R.
Right.
Trichosis spelled T-R-I-C-H-O-S-I-S. Hypertrichosis.
Know what that means. As, you know,
I'm having a problem as well.
But, I mean, okay. Hyper means... Okay, I'm just going to say I have a vague idea and...
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Great. Dr. Reverend.
Same.
Great. Shannon.
I know what that is.
Okay, Shannon knows. John?
0.
0. All right. Melody starts off.
I'm here for the goldfish.
That is, John is usually here for the goldfish. And we're happy to have him.
Yeah, me too.
Medical terminology doesn't really deviate. It's very succinct, and this is why I'm like kind of annoyed with myself for not immediately being like, oh, I know what that means. Hyper, elevated, tri, 3. Kosis is what I'm having an issue with. Like, what does that mean? I'm not sure if it means an elevation of 3 symptoms, like something is... you know, appearing raised in 3 categories, or if it means that there's one particular thing that has seen an elevation. But we're looking at that in some way, and that's the vaguest of ideas right there. So
no, you got a very important part, which is there is a lot of something.
Yeah,
great.
Of 3 of something.
Dr. Reverend.
I'm in the same boat. You know, everything that Dr. Malati said sound really good. The only thing that I want to add to this is, like, it sound. I feel like it has something to do with, like, teeth or mouths.
Okay. Okay. It doesn't, but that's fine. No, that's good. Nice. But that's good.
Okay.
Shannon, bring us home.
Well, I'm thrown off, but I don't think it's hyper try. I think it's hyper trick, which would be hair.
Oh.
So it's the condition where people grow hair all over
Shit.
Their bodies.
You're so right.
Yep.
And it's
God damn it.
It's like a werewolf.
I have to go back.
It's the origin of the werewolf legend.
Yeah, yeah.
And also a lot of sideshow. A lot of people who had this back in the days were in sideshows, such as JoJo the dog-faced boy.
Yeah.
Who was covered in hair.
Shannon.
Glutton for punishment, JoJo the dog-faced boy.
Aww.
Right? Isn't that what Xander says in Buffy?
I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, great job. Yeah, hypertrichosis is the thing where you have hair all over your face, and that's, you know, they bring you on Sally, Jesse, Raphael or whatever. And
I'm definitely not going to dispute the point distribution. But that's what threw me off. The
pronunciation
was wrong.
I think I said it both ways. But yes, I you're getting half a point anyway. But you and Billy are both getting half a point. Shannon's getting 2 points, and Billy, 1, 2, or 3.
Dose.
All right. Do you have a vague idea about Puff, the magic dragon?
Fuck yeah, I do.
All right, Shannon Page.
I was going to talk about him in number one.
Okay.
During our improv sketch.
Go Puff. Come down here and have a puff. Shannon, yeah? So good? John?
I'm going to go 3rd. I probably don't have anything to add.
All right. Well, I'm going to leave you open. We'll see what you say. Malati?
Sure.
Great. Start us off, Billy. Puff the Magic Dragon.
Well, my thoughts immediately go to the song by Peter, Paul, and Mary that used to make me cry as a child.
Aw, that's very sweet.
Aww.
It's a sweet reveal.
It's fucking sad.
It is.
The kid and the dragon have this relationship, and then...
Not like an inappropriate...
It's consensual. This isn't a Leaving Neverland situation, people.
I mean, I don't really know the details, but, you know, once the kid... Oh, I guess I never really considered that before, but once the kid gets old enough, he decides the situation's not appropriate anymore, and he says, I gotta go.
Or he aged out. He just got groomed out, and there's a new kid.
Oh,
sorry, this.
Boy, yeah, this is a weird one. But in any case, the kid's like, "I'm done," for whatever reason, and the dragon's like, "I'm also done," and everything is very sad, and I hate that song.
Yeah, yeah. Aww. It's a tough song because it is very, it's a very slow folk song too. Like, not only is it sad in content, but it's, like, it doesn't have any, like, there's no pickup. It's not like you hit a point where you're like, oh, cool, here comes the break.
Yeah, at no point does it rock.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent.
And then it flew on its dragon.
Nope.
Right? That's where Falcor comes in. Falcor should have been involved in this round, but...
Or Trogdor.
Trogdor! Would have totally handled this.
Shannon?
Puff? The kid's name was Little Johnny Paper,
mm.
which when I was a kid really confused me that his last name was Paper, which it shouldn't because my last name is Paige, but I never realized that before. But I was like, what a weird last name that kid has.
like a page of paper.
Yeah. And I used to always get confused with Pete's Dragon when I was a kid, which is kind of the same idea. Also, it is a veiled reference to marijuana.
Can be.
Did you say that?
I didn't say
that.
Okay. No.
Yeah. The kids like to, you know,
puff
the magic
dragon.
Yeah. Yeah. John, you want to add anything?
I think I was thinking of Pete's Dragon, that kind of live action movie that they did.
They're very easy to get confused.
I thought it was kind of the same thing, but maybe not.
They're kind of the same plot, too, aren't they?
I mean, surely Pete's Dragon was inspired by Puff the Magic Dragon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so many dragons. Wendy's inspired by Pippi Longstockings. This Pete's Dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It all makes sense. Yeah.
Now, you could get married to the character from the song, and then you could have a hyphenated last name, which is like...
Shannon Page Paper?
Yeah, or... Yeah.
Paper Page?
Page of Paper.
Paper Page? Mm-hmm. Whichever one you like better.
I could have him hyphenate his name, and then he'd be Little Johnny Paper Page.
Little Johnny. This is my husband, Little Johnny Paper Page.
I'm honestly, sure you'll all be able to take him seriously.
I wouldn't be upset if I had that kind of introduction, even if it was kind of, well, it's diminutive. You love, do you like diminutive people as well as diminutive? I mean, you're aware, oh, you're aware of leprechauns, so you must like diminutive people.
Yeah, yeah, for
it
sure.
It would be weird for you not to.
Totally.
Yeah, small packages. Milani, Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yep, it's a lot of has been said at this point.
All right.
He lived by the sea.
Then great, very, very good,
and,
very good.
And I'm saying that for those of you who aren't familiar, because the first couple lines go, Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea. And that was, uh-huh. You know, it carried on from there.
Where do they live?
Where do they live?
Honolulu.
Honolulu.
Aww.
It's true. Uh-huh.
Such a pretty non-existent place. But what else?
Tell the Honoluans that.
He...
You know what? I think this is fake news.
Oh, are you a Republican?
No. Oh, God.
Don't normalize that phrase.
No, I actually, yeah, I'm really upset at the normalization of that phrase.
Yes. No,
I know.
Like, we should call lies lies and stop being, oh, that's cute. No, no.
I do it too. I make light of fake news all the time. I'm like, ha, fake news joke. And then, it's not funny.
No.
It's sad.
Yeah.
Lies are lies.
Yeah. It's made up. The end.
Yep.
Puff the Magic Dragon inspired a comedian named Piff the Magic Dragon, who went on to perform on America's Got Talent.
Oh, what? All right. Hey,
and
that's...
did a really good job.
Is that fake news?
Negative.
Very nice. All right. Great job, everybody. Shan's getting a point. John's getting half a point. Melody's getting a point. Billy's getting a point. And Shannon, one or two.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Is there...
There is. There's a segment that Shannon doesn't like, and it still remains on the board. She has a 50-50 chance of picking something that she existentially dreads.
Oh. I hope she doesn't get it, because I kind of like that section.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, John wants to pick.
There.
So you should pick one or two?
One.
Okay, great. Shannon, do you have a vague idea about Procter & Gamble's satanic logo?
I don't.
Okay. John, Procter & Gamble's satanic logo?
I'm thinking of their logo. No, I don't know.
Okay. Melody, Procter & Gamble's satanic logo?
No. Okay. No. I haven't even heard of that.
Billy, Procter & Gamble's satanic logo?
I can't recall their logo. I know Procter & Gamble in general has a lot of very questionable practices.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of what their logo is like or why it would be quote-unquote satanic. So I guess I gotta say no.
All right. Well, great. I'm gonna give everybody points for that because I stumped the group. So P&G used to have a logo that featured a crescent moon with sort of a man's face in it.
Are you gonna show us that?
I am, yeah. The logo in question here, I just showed it out.
Which we will also post on the Instagram account. For those of you at home who want to
Yes, we will. That's at A Vague Idea Podcast on
That's
Instagram.
That's the Procter & Gamble logo?
Well, it was. They changed at some point. It. They changed it in the 80s or 90s, but this was a logo that they used for about 150 years. So this logo depicts a sort
it's
of
a
man's
one.
Face in a crescent moon. There are stars in the foreground, and then there are some swirls. Now, the horns and the inverted sixes that have been highlighted in this image are part of the reason why it was believed that Procter & Gamble was satanic.
What?
And then there was a persistent myth throughout the 70s and 80s that the CEO of Procter & Gamble had gone on either Phil Donahue or Sally Jesse Raphael or Jenny Jones. This happened multiple times.
Those aren't
that he would
characters.
Go on these shows and claim that, oh yeah, I don't care. I'm a member of the Church of Satan. Whatever. This is a completely false claim, but yeah. So here's a sample of a letter that would have circulated. Please make a difference. The president of Procter & Gamble appeared on the Phil Donahue show on March 1st, 1994. He announced that due to the openness of our society, he was coming out of the closet about his association with the Church of Satan. He stated a large portion of his profits from Procter & Gamble products goes to support this satanic church. When asked by Donahue if stating this on TV would hurt his business, he replied, "There are not enough Christians in the United States to make a difference." So this This is a hoax that circulated for a long time, and there are
probably started by PETA or somebody like that.
A really super weird thing. You can look it up. It's remarkable. There's also a really good episode of the Dollop podcast that covers this in great detail. I just thought it was super interesting.
That's cool.
Because, yeah. So they changed their logo. Now it is just a P and G. Like, P ampersand G is all their logo.
Right, that's all I could think of. Yeah. I was like, I got no Satan there.
Yeah. So, yeah, this all flew under our radars. But great job. Everybody's going to get, everybody's getting 10 points. Great job, everybody.
Hey, we're doing well.
I'm going to have to do a lot of math in a minute.
P&G stands for poop and goo.
Poop and goo! All right. So, John, would you like to pick the first and last topic?
Yes, I will take it.
Well, John, it's time for Pomme Pomme de Terre! Pomme Pomme de Terre is our category where I will present an object that is neither an apple.
Can you say that slower?
Pomme ou pomme de terre.
Français.
Apple or potato? Français,
apple or potato. Okay. Yeah. So I present an object that is neither an apple nor a potato.
Okay.
And the person who selects this time John, thankfully not Shannon, through some amazing, like, I don't know how you read my mind about which one to choose.
I'm so glad, because I was going to go with number two.
So John will get to tell us whether this digital video disc of the Big Lebowski is an apple or a potato. Make your case, John.
This is a travesty. I don't know. I'm out of my element. I don't even know.
That's where the point right there, John. Sorry. Good job.
I think I'm gonna go with potato.
You're gonna go with potato?
I'm gonna go with potato because of the dude was nothing but like a tumbleweed on the earth, on the ground.
Okay.
I don't think he would have even reached to pick an apple from a tree.
Great. I think that's a very good argument.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any rebuttals? Malati, do you believe this is not a potato?
I believe it is a potato, and I can add reasons why it is a potato.
Great.
Potatoes sustained Ireland for decades, if not centuries. Nutritionally, from a doctor's perspective, this is true. You can actually survive off of just potatoes. In fact, there are some fasts that we suggest for people who are trying to lose weight to eat just potatoes. You can use a little salt on the potato, and you can use water on the potato, but you can't eat anything else, and that's how we have you start to lose weight, because nutritionally, vitamin-wise, there's a lot of sustaining things that are consistent in potato.
Earth-rich.
And therefore, you're not going to die, but also, if you're given free range to prepare a potato however you want to, you can make so much shit out of a potato. There's fries, there's, you know, pies even. There's, like, different ways. But this movie...
When did the potato people get to your this body? Movie I just need to know.
It's so many different ways to be enjoyed. Like, you can go high.
I like that.
You can go not high. You can go drunk. You can drink just straight up...
White Russians?
White Russians, thank you. I was like, the milk and vodka drink. You know, I mean, like, it's such a lovely way to enjoy this movie, and it's so many layered, just like a potato can be. You can eat just potato skins. Yeah, I digress.
But all anyway. Right. Well, great. Great. Billy, do you think it's a potato or an apple?
My initial reaction was apple, because it's such a delicious movie.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But really, like, you give it, like, a few seconds of thought, and it's a fucking potato, because it's so deep. Mm-hmm. It lives underground, mm-hmm. and it grows. Yeah. And this movie was not initially a box office hit, but after a little while, everybody loves it. Like, what's the side you get with every fucking thing that you order at the restaurant?
French fries.
Potatoes. So it was like a grower like that, and I love it so much.
Great. Shannon?
Apple, you like potato? Growers, not right. Showers.
Any thoughts?
Yeah, I will respond directly to the case of the Big Lebowski and not the movie itself, which is also clearly a potato. Because
have you not watched The Big Lebowski?
But I'm just responding to the case.
Have you watched The Big Lebowski?
Yeah, hundreds of times.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I think, I mean, come on. But if you haven't, if you haven't watched it, turn the podcast off now. You're pretty much near the end anyway.
It's also clearly a potato. You've got pictures of all the characters, i.e. eyes. It's got eyes. It's a potato.
Great. Also, a popular way to prepare a potato is julienne. Like Julianne Moore. Oh, everybody's going to get a point. Great job. So I need to add these up. Talk amongst yourselves for a moment.
Well, it was nice being on this podcast with you all.
Some good side chatter.
You guys do this every week with him?
You all look lovely.
Where does he pay you? And spend your night here
looking forward
bullshitting
to
with people who don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Looking forward to him tallying up my points.
Oh yeah, I'm almost to you
as a winner. If I beat Melody, she'll probably be mad and she'll hit me when we get home.
Well, this is a safe space, so you can keep telling us about that.
Well, she can hit me here if she wants. I don't mind.
Good news. You're going to get hit.
Uh-oh.
So our final score tallies to a tie for first place between Shannon and Billy with 22.5 points. Melody has 22 points. John has 16. Well done. Let's start. We'll start with Melody. Is there anything you'd like to plug this evening? You can plug your business. You can plug anything you like. If you just want people to watch Angel or True Blood or The Order or some sort of potato-based media, anything
you
is really...
You need to have watched The Big Lebowski. If there are listeners out there who haven't watched The Big Lebowski, that's your next chore.
Mm-hmm.
And then, otherwise movies that you should have watched that you maybe haven't watched that haven't been mentioned on the show, The Princess Bride... Mm-hmm. And
is there a potato in that movie?
Well, there's R-O-U-S's, which look like giant potatoes.
Yeah, I was gonna go directly there, so I'm glad
if there's
you did
no
that.
Potato, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Billy Crystal might be half potato in that movie.
True, he's kind of a potato.
That's true. He's also kind of a potato in both City Slickers movies.
Yeah.
And in every Oscar hosting.
He might be just
a potato
in general.
Yeah. We could be.
If you live in Denver, Colorado, you should come get some acupuncture and or chiropractic and or massage at Herb, that's H-E-R-B,
mm-hmm.
and legend.com.
Yeah, go to urbanlegend.com, book an appointment. Billy, plugs.
Okay.
Anything you'd like to plug?
Everything that Melody just plugged. Other than that, no, I'm not plugging anything except the best role-playing game that I've stumbled across recently. In case there's anybody out there listening to this podcast that likes role-playing games. Tabletop ones. Overlight. It's glorious. My friends wrote it, and it rocks. It's weird fantasy if you're kind of sick of elves and dwarves and trolls and humans and that kind of regular stuff. Like, try something new. It's called Overlight, and it rocks.
And the art is based on the band Yes?
I mean, it's inspired. The whole game is inspired by like progressive rock bands. Like, Yes, it's like very psychedelic. It's a weird fantasy. It's really fun.
Where can someone find this game?
It's published by Renegade Studios, so you can find it on Amazon. You can find it on Renegade's website.
Locally, is it at Wizard's Chest? Is that right?
It fucking better be Wizard's Chest. You hear
right.
me? Wizard's Chest? I don't know.
All right. Well, hey, great.
Before it was published, I asked them, I was like, are you going to do this? And they were like, we don't know. And so I haven't been back.
That's a ringing endorsement of... Yeah, no, Overlight sounds really cool.
Do you
cool,
hear me, Wizard's Chest?
Shannon, plugs?
Potato skins. I'm going to bring it back. They were previously mentioned. They're hard to find, and they're delicious. And if you have connections to the restaurant industry, you should put them on your menu. Because you'd be surprised how often it's 10 p.m. and you can't find potato skins. Just putting that out there.
I think that's very important.
I like
bring
some
back
right
potato
now.
Skins.
Potato skins.
John, plugs?
No, not really.
All right.
No.
That's great. great job. Thank you guys so much for being on. This was a real pleasure.
Fun.
We'll have you back, too.
Okay.
And, it might be themed a little differently. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
We can do the band next
time. Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, talk to me. We'll make this happen. Thank you guys so much for listening to A Vague Idea. Please follow us on social media, Instagram at A Vague Idea Podcast, Twitter at A Vague Idea Pod. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify now. We're now on Spotify.
Okay.
It's pretty exciting. And Stitcher. Go to all those places. Please rate and review us. It really helps us out. It gets the word spread. It takes you a couple minutes. You can write, like, poop. You can say 5 stars and then poop. That's fine. That's a good review. We'll take it.
Oh, my goodness. First person to do that gets to be a guest on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. If you tweet, you can tweet at us or tweet at me, at Nate Regolia, with a screen cap of your review that says, with 5 stars, poop, and we will invite you on the show. You will pay all expenses to get yourself to Denver, Colorado, and all room and board. But we'll give you some beers and stuff if you come hang out. So great. Thank you guys so much for listening. This has been A Vague Idea. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and John Perros. If you like this podcast and you like anime, you should check out my podcast with Sean Grolkowski called You Better Believe This. That's found at moleholeradio.com. If you like science fiction books, you should check out the press that Sean and I started. It's called Space Boy Books, and you can find us at readspaceboy.com.
Listeners of A Vague Idea can get 25% off when you set up a call with a tax preparer and mention promo code IDEA. For each person who does, Brass Taxes will donate another $25 to Nate's nonprofit of choice, which is the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Hey, thank you.
So head to brasstaxes.com to get started and mention promo code IDEA for $25 off this year's tax prep services.